This is Jeff Barr coming to you from the basement of the AWS loft in San Francisco. I'm here with Igor Tabor of Intel Capital. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about the mission of Intel Capital.
Sure. So Intel Capital has been around for about 20 years and really have had two core objectives that we are pursuing on behalf of Intel. One is we want to make a financially attractive investment. So every investment we make gets judged on how successful it was from a return on capital perspective. But second core objective is to make investments that are strategically relevant for Intel Corporation. And I'm sure we'll get into as to what that means as we
All right.
have a conversation.
How did you get to this point in your career?
It's a good question. I've been around Intel for about 14 years now. I've had many various roles around the world. I spent a lot of time in the U.S. I spent a little bit of time in Europe, in Eastern Europe, etc. In a number of roles. I started at Intel on the operational side as product manager. Spent some time in business development, etc. But throughout that, I worked very closely with Intel Capital and was seeing kind of impact that Intel Capital makes both on Intel strategy as well as just an entrepreneurship community, and that attracted me a lot.
Did you start out with a business background, or did you more learn that on the fly?
My career has always been in business related roles, from product management to business development to corporate development, etc. So I always was a business guy, if you will. Even though I have a technical degree, but I was always a business guy.
Got it. All right. Tell me a bit about how you go about. I'm sure a lot of investments come your way. How do you size them up? How do you evaluate them?
Yeah. No. I think the way we look at investments. I think there's some fundamental factors that you always look at, right? You want to, especially in the enterprise space, you want to invest in a team, which is probably by far the most important component, that has deep expertise in the area that they are developing in. It's very important in enterprise, in my opinion. It may be less important in the consumer investments, but in enterprise space where it's complex environment, complex technology, have to sell to IT, have to really understand what the IT problem statement is, you probably have to have a few years behind your belt in those roles to understand the problem. So the first thing we're looking at is, does the team has the right domain expertise and understand the problem very well that they're trying to solve? So that's one. And of course, by far the most important one. I think other areas we care about is, how big the market is, how competitive the market is, how differentiated the company is, et cetera. Really what we're after is figuring out how do we get to big outcomes? How do we build big companies with talented entrepreneurs?
Is there a certain benchmark number that you look for in terms of the valuation or market cap that you're aiming toward?
Well, it's simple math. So Intel Capital, we do anywhere between $300 to $500 million per year worth of investment, right? If you try to draw a parallel with a typical, more classical venture firm that has a five-year investment period, that makes it anywhere between $1.5 to $2 billion fund. So when you invest $1.5 to $2 billion fund, the outcomes have to be meaningful enough to move the needle, right? And on a $1.5 billion of capital investing, hence you're looking for companies that can become very large companies. That's one. A second consideration, strategically, the companies that have the most impact on Intel and have the most strategic alignment with Intel, that alignment is most successful when the company becomes big, right? Those are some of the partnerships that we've seen over the years that became the most impactful. So examples would be companies like Red Hat, where we were an early investor in, and many, many other examples, right? They really have the meaningful impact to Intel strategy when they grow up and become a large company.
When you say impact Intel, does this mean driving in a positive sense demand for processing power and storage and SSD and so forth, and saying that the more great apps and software and OSs are out there, the more people will use other Intel products?
Well, that's part of it. To give you a very specific example, in the area that I'm focused on, kind of in a big data and analytics space, Intel has a very large data center business. I think it was around $14 some billion in 2014. If you look forward and say what grows that business, key things that grow that business is the drive for demand for net new computing. And demand for net new computing comes from things like big data and analytics and new workloads that haven't been present before. And the way that gets adapted is through lots of innovation and lots of startup activity and lots of ecosystem redefinition, if you will. That's typically being driven by startups, right? So that's kind of impact.
It makes a lot of sense.
That we're after.
So entrepreneurs often say that when they take an investment from their chosen VC, they're not just looking for the money, they're looking for other benefits. When Intel Capital invests, what kind of other benefits would come along for the ride?
Yeah, so I think the biggest impact, the biggest value we add to companies we invest in is leveraging Intel footprint with customers. To give you a very specific example, Intel has somewhere around 3,000 salespeople that focused on every Fortune 5,000 company out there globally. To the degree we can leverage that network to help our portfolio companies to have access to those customers, that's probably the biggest impact we can have on our portfolio company. And that's the reach and footprint that not many people can match.
Okay.
From the investment industry or venture firms and things like that. And the way we do that is through very targeted introductions, very targeted events where we bring together selected set of our portfolio companies to selected customer on a very much of a regular basis. And if you ask most of our portfolio companies, I will probably tell you that it's been extremely high impact.
Would it be fair to translate what you told me as a successful entrepreneur should build something that the Intel salespeople could and would be able to sell to your customers?
Well, it's not necessarily Intel salespeople selling to our customers. It's really about Intel sales team having relationships with their customers, where they understand, Intel salespeople do not sell, our portfolio company's product. But what they do have, they have relationships that they build over a long time, where they understand the needs. And it's a win-win. They're able to give their customers access to a lot of innovation and a lot of access to pre-selected, pre-qualified set of suppliers and ecosystem partners that, quite frankly, if big CIO wanted to have access, he would have to go through 1,000 startups to figure out which 10 can be helpful to him. We've done that work already,
yeah.
Right? And so that's a win-win. It's a ability for the customer to get access to lots of innovation. It's ability for our portfolio company to get access to a very large customer. And Intel field or Intel sales teams become value added to their customer when they facilitate that.
That definitely makes sense. What general advice or specific advice would you give for today's rising group of entrepreneurs?
I think the biggest advice that I would give is to find the problem that you're trying to solve, independent of where the headwinds may be or what the buzzword of the day or buzzword of the year may be, because these things come and go. But really find an area that you feel like you have a core expertise in and can really make a difference. And then hopefully this area is big enough, not always, but hopefully it happens to be big enough where you can build a big company. And just focus on solving that problem. Ignore kind of the buzzwords and the what's hot of the day type of headlines, type of things.
Got it. Okay. Do you work directly with entrepreneurs or do you use incubators as kind of a sorting and filtering mechanism?
We do both. I think primarily we have, most of our deal flow probably happens from a direct entrepreneurial relationships. Of course, we work with incubators and we have lots of relationships there as well. But I would say probably the bulk of our investment opportunities come from our direct relationships from our network.
What is your kind of your farm or your input source? How do people raise their hand and get the attention of Intel Capital? What's the procedure or the model that works?
It's pretty straightforward. I think the best way is to get introduced. We have a fairly sizable team of Intel Capital directors, very well connected with various parts of ecosystem and entrepreneurship community. And so it's not that hard to find somebody who knows somebody at Intel Capital. And so the best way is just to get a qualified introduction. That's usually the most effective way to
So working through your contact list and finding someone who knows someone. And
we're a big firm. We have lots of, it shouldn't be that hard. And if you're a good entrepreneur, you should find a way to find somebody who knows us. It's not that difficult.
Okay, now I know that you focus on big data and analytics. Tell us a bit about that.
Sure, so the big data space is an area, kind of going back to Intel objectives, financial and strategic. Strategically, it's an area that we think is going to drive a lot of growth to Intel data center business. So that's an area where Intel strategically is focused on. financial, we also believe that kind of existing entire existing data management infrastructure that's been put in place over the last decade to 50, maybe 10, 15, 20 years is getting completely rethought and redesigned. And then you can start from data management all the way up to the machine learning, all the way up to analytics and application layer. The entire part of the stack is getting disrupted. And I think that's an area from an investor perspective that's extremely attractive. And there are a number of trends that are going on with big data as a result of all this data that's now available to enterprise and how they get insight into that data that drives kind of rethinking of that stack and that drives lots of innovation, which in turn drives entrepreneurial activity. So that's the idea.
So there's a lot of people talking about big data, and one could casually walk away and think that maybe all the big problems have already been identified and solved. So do you agree with that, or do you think there's a lot more to do?
No, I think we're kind of in the very beginning of this game, right? So I call it data, big data 1.0. I think primarily big data activities to date had to do with building technologies and figuring out how to store very large amounts of data that were not possible to store before. I think big data to date has been about figuring out how to keep the data, how to store the data. I think where the big data, if you will, 2.0 or 3.0 is going to be around how to get insight into that data. How do you get predictive insight into that data? How do you figure out what does data tell me, not just about what happened yesterday, but what will happen tomorrow? And how do you do it in real time? I think those are areas that are still very much ready for innovation. Lots of activity going on there, but it by far hasn't been solved.
I think you've just provided a nice map for the next generation of entrepreneurs there.
Well, we see lots of activities here, and we think that will continue for some time.
So thinking back on investments you've made, are there any one that you look at and say you're kind of particularly proud of, either from the return on investment or kind of from the other value that you've created kind of outside of the financial side?
Yeah, it would be like picking your favorite child, right? So that's probably not the smart thing to do for me. But more broadly, so I don't know if I want to name a specific company here.
That's fine.
But more broadly, I think, Intel Capital as a whole has been extremely successful. Very consistently over the last 20 years, making 50 to 70 to 80 investments per year, and very consistently having a very positive track record, both from a strategic impact as well as from a financial returns perspective. And that's what enables us to keep doing it for hopefully for next 20.
Okay.
So we're pretty proud of the portfolio and the entrepreneurs we've been able to work with.
How about on the other side? Has there been one that everybody looked at and agreed this is just not going to be anything awesome, and then you said forget about it, and then someone else saw the value and you're like kind of kicking yourself for
that's a cool thing. I think some funds have a running track of what they call anti-portfolio, which is portfolio they wish they had, but for some reason they didn't invest in, right? And of course we're no different. We have ours. On average we make, as I mentioned, 60 investments. To make 60 investments, we closely look at, let's say, 500 companies. From a probably even broader pipeline of a couple thousand, right? So when you deal with, that's just a lot of numbers. And statistically, you're going to end up with some cases where you wish you invested, but you didn't, right?
Okay. So you can't get kind of too personally connected to any particular one and have to rely on the statistics to make things work out.
But you have to assume that you're not always going to make the right call. That's just the nature of the industry. And since you say no more often than you say yes, statistical within those no's are going to be some that you wish were yes.
Sure. Excellent. Well, I've really enjoyed speaking with you and appreciate you taking the time to come down to the basement loft and have our chat.
Well, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the AWS podcast. We'd love to hear your feedback. You can contact Jeff Barr on Twitter at Jeff Barr, at JeffBarr, or you can email him at jbarr@amazon.com, jbarr@amazon.com.